Welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Joseph Schatcher. He is the founder and editor of the Schatcher Energy Report, and really my go-to when it comes to the energy sector and oil in particular, as well as really any stocks that I want to know about when it comes to the energy sector. Joseph, let's start off with the actual oil price here. It's been in a bit of a downtrend throughout this month, pushed down by a lot of these geopolitical issues, black swan events when it comes to the coronavirus, which really put a dent in the uptrend that oil was in throughout the fourth quarter, rising from about $51 a barrel to a high of just over $65 a barrel. And now it's the whole way back to the low 50s, right around $52, $53 a barrel. What is your outlook? I know the last time I talked to you, you thought that oil would trade in a range between about $54 to $66 in the first quarter. Any thoughts or any changes on that on the back of the weakness that we've seen throughout this month?
Sure. My pleasure, Corey. First thing, we were cautious because we were seeing inventory builds on almost a weekly basis, gasoline and distillates in the United States, and the EIA reports that were coming out on a weekly basis were showing that. And the reason we got the run-up into the mid-60s was twofold. One, of course, the assassination of the general from Iran, who was the militant, all the attacks against America, the American embassy. So there was a war premium that came in. And the one that I think is probably even more important than that was Saudi Aramco underwriting was very important to Saudi Arabia. And they took out all the stops to make sure that they had a very successful issue. They gave an advantage to locals to get a 10% bump up in the shares if they bought them and held them for 6 months. Generous financing to borrowers. They also got OPEC to agree in Q1 to cut back production by another 500,000 barrels a day, of which 400,000 would be cut back by Saudi Arabia. And then actual cutbacks in October, November, December by Saudi Arabia as well. So everything went well. The issue popped. It got up to that $2 trillion value that the Saudi crown prince wanted, and then backed off from there, after the issue had been out for a while. And in the end, they did a green shoe. And I think the final number they raised was $29 billion with the green shoe. So you got up to that $66 on the assassination on war premium, and then week after week thereafter, we were getting EIA data showing an inventory build both on gasoline and on distillates. This week, we had another 3.5 million barrel build for commercial inventories, and I think gasoline inventories 1.5 million. So the builds continue, and that was something you should expect during the wintertime. You should be looking for drawdowns, because it's the peak period for demand. So the price now we have the current coronavirus, and that is going to impact travel. We're already seeing American flights being canceled to China. China's now putting quarantine on 50 million of their citizens in the city, so you don't have as much transportation need. And so the imports by China of oil going forward could be quite much lower than they have been. And that would impact as well the issue for China demand in 2020, at least in Q1, Q2. So we've lowered the band for the first quarter from we had 54 to 66. We've lowered that to 50 to 66. And based on the data that we've had, the high was 65 on the day of the assassination of General Qasem. And the low today is 51.66, so we're lower today than we have been, and that relates, of course, to the more news coming out every day on the coronavirus, and that it is spreading in the U.S., more deaths in China. I think there are over 7,600 cases now. That's up from 7,000 yesterday, so the number is just getting larger. And it's bigger now than the SARS numbers. And so it's the incubation period is anywhere between 7 and 10 days. So there still is maybe another week that we have to worry about how far this is going to spread. And that's the basic issue, and that's why the markets are getting clipped in general, and the energy markets are getting hit in particular.
Now, these black swan events, obviously very tough to predict and even trade off of, but I just find it interesting how much of a top it put into that oil price. And obviously, those oil companies are struggling as well. Any thoughts on what might come out of the U.S. in terms of production, in terms of data that could also drive this market? That's been one of the larger players that has come out and had a heavier hand in the market outside of what we know, OPEC or OPEC Plus, as some people call them.
Yeah, one thing that I've been writing a lot at and, you know, for our subscribers is that the U.S. grew from 6 million to 13 million, and the big increase of that, of the 7 million, was the shales, the Permian, was probably the Eagle Ford. Others were the big backbone of that. And the Eagle Ford is now showing signs of rolling over, according to the most recent productivity report by the EIA. The Permian is still growing slightly, but so many companies in the Permian have made announcements that because their Tier 1 wells are not performing as well as they thought, that's their best wells, they're not going to be as aggressive spending. At the same time, Bay Street and Wall Street have said, you guys are not making great rate returns. You've got to live within cash flow. Some of you with big debt have to pay that debt down. And then some companies are being forced by shareholders to say, give us a return of capital, buy back our stock, or give us a dividend. So there's a lot more pressure on the companies to perform. And that, I think, as prices recover, gives the companies the cash flow they need to meet these needs of paying down the debt, improving the balance sheet, improving their operational side, and then at some point, normal course issuer bids and dividends. So I think the industry will be quite rational in 2020, 2021, even though I think that we'll be looking at over $70 oil on a sustainable basis after Q2, so for the second half of 2020.
All right, so when it comes to the stocks that you're selecting, and that's one of the things that I really enjoy about your newsletter, is that you do the due diligence. You dive into the different stocks, both large and small, and really assess what the potential is here. Before we get into any particular stocks, what are some of the key metrics that you look for when it comes to balancing out revenues, balancing out debt, and also balancing out geopolitics and the potential growth that these companies need to have to keep on generating more cash flow and really keep the ball rolling?
Yeah, what I look for first is I want strong balance sheets. I'm looking for companies that have debt to cash flow under 2x, hopefully heading towards under 1.5x. So there's no question as you get more commodity price improvement and that you're going to have more cash flow so that they can use it to grow, they can use it to pay dividends, they can use it for normal course issuer bids. And so I'm nibbling right now, even today, on companies that are dividend model companies that I see having upside, and where I see the company's management are big insider shareholders and where they're working in key plays, be it the LNG beneficiaries, be it in some of the lighter oil plays domestically. I'm looking even at some of the service stocks where they're going to benefit as the recovery comes in, and there's a tight amount of labor right now, and to get more labor, you're going to need much higher prices for rigs and for fracking units before the companies will bring on more manpower. And then I'm looking at international stories where the drill bit makes a big difference. And if they are successful with the drill bit, you're going to see much higher stock prices. So it's almost like a barbell approach where the biggest portion of our investments in energy are dividend model players, because you want to get paid while you're waiting. You know, the energy sector has been pretty lousy for so long that you want to be paid and then know that the stocks are cheap and that when the price of the commodity recovers, you're going to get, stock price appreciation, but you're also going to get probably more dividend increases going forward. So that's the approach that I've taken. And I have a patience, and given if I'm right about $70 oil in the second half of the year, the index, which is now around 133 for the S&P TSX Energy Index, I think it's going to go down to the 120, 125 level. So, you know, 7% decline from here. The price of crude is around, you know, just under 52, so it goes to 50. So you get that kind of final shellacking in the next couple of weeks, and you're going to get some fabulous buying opportunities. So people who are subscribers, just look at the lists that we have and, you know, decide if you're dividend model players, are you international focused players, are you, you know, Canadian domestic oil investors, or are you wanted to be on the LNG beneficiary side, and then just pick away at the names. And again, you know, if you're older and you need some income, you know, focus on the dividend paying names, because you'll get paid, and as the cycle unfolds and the companies generate a lot more cash flow, it's likely they'll raise the dividends materially.
Okay, so it sounds very much still like waiting for maybe some larger drops in the stocks that you like and then taking your positions there. Are there any stocks that you could share with us that are, let's say, near the top of your radar or at least on your radar?
Yeah, I'm recommending the names which are dividend models. And what I'm saying to our clients is, you know, pick a price that you're comfortable with. Put it in below the market, which is what I've done. And on days like today, when the index is getting clipped and, you know, the price of crude oil, you know, is down, so you're getting, like, the price of crude oil today is down about 2.7%, down $1.44 to $51.89 last. The TSX Energy Index is down 1.1%. But stocks that I look at here, some of them are down over 5%. So I put in bids below the market on a number of them, and you know, Vermilion is paying 23 cents a month, $2.76. The stock trades at 20, so you know that's a 13-14% yield. You've got a company like Surge, which is trading at $1, which pays 10 cents, so it's a 10% dividend yield. You know, Birchcliff. There's so many names. Whitecap. All you need to do is pick the names and the mix of business you want. Look at their balance sheets and see which ones have the balance sheets that you have comfort zone on, and then put in your bids below the market. And as we see this weakness in the market, you should have a chance to get your positions filled.
All right, Joseph. Always interesting chatting with you, and I'm glad that we could touch base here before January ended, because it has been a tough month for the oil sector and energy in general, as these black swan events have hurt a lot of at least enthusiasm about near-term global growth. If anybody has any questions for Joseph regarding energy stocks or the general energy sector, please email me fleck@kereport.com or comment below this interview. Joseph, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.